Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you have me.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hello. Welcome to Lilydale Radio, also known as the City of Light. So here we are at Block Radio. We have a very special guest today, Tom Crassley. He's been a healer and a teacher here at Lilydale for many years and has traveled extensively. If you would like to phone in and ask Tom questions on the subject of healing or regressions, you can call at 818-739-8818. That is 818-739-8818. Well, welcome to the show, Tom.
Hi, John. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay. Tom, tell us a little bit about yourself and Lilydale.
Well, my history at Lilydale goes back all the way back to the summer of 1968. At the time, I was a freshman at the University of Buffalo, and I was involved in a metaphysical coffee clutch. And a group of students, we regularly sat at the student union discussing metaphysical matters, discussing psychic phenomena, etc. And the subject of Lilydale came up, and since Lilydale was only an hour to an hour and a half away from University of Buffalo, it was it certainly means for a road trip. So we were out here, and I was struck firstly by the healing temple. I think it was had the most powerful impact on me, watching people in front of the temple working on people who had come to visit Lilydale. Not a word was spoken. They would just go up to the front of the temple, sit at a bench, a healer would work on them, and that person would leave, and another person would go up and sit at the same bench, and the healer would work on them. There'd be a number of healers working simultaneously. But there was this energy there and a presence of spirit and love, if you will, that was really palpable, and it touched me deeply. And I wanted to know more about it and work with it more. And as luck would have it, where I lived in Buffalo at the time was in the neighborhood of a spiritualist church that I started to go to. And the church was run by a little English woman whose name was Edith Wendling. She had had a history of even being involved with Arthur Conan Doyle back in England. But anyway, what was particularly powerful for me is I took healing classes at the church, and it was really important for me to feel the presence of the spiritual energy and to see and know that it actually has an impact and is useful for people. Over the years, of course, I've come to understand it in varying ways and have a deeper understanding of it for me, myself personally, philosophically. I believe that healing is happening all the time, and it's just a matter of us being willing to accept it and kind of look in the direction to be open to it, to experience it. So I took those classes, and I started to work in the temple in the early 70s. And worked there every summer since. I would take summers off and stay in Lilydale and work the entire summer, every service at the Healing Temple, just for the experience of it. And I think I learned, it was my greatest education as far as understanding and learning healing is concerned, was through that. And what I learned from spiritual healing is that the more you do, the more you are impacted by spiritual intelligence. And what I mean by that is that when you are fully engaged in the healing process, you are constantly getting information. Some of it you're aware of, some of it you may not be aware of. But at some level, that gets imparted to the person you're sharing or you're focusing the healing energy on. But that was my background, and I've been continually working in that area ever since, and also in the area of working with meditation and sitting in circle. I found that for myself personally, my greatest sort of spiritual experiences have usually come in circles meditating with other people.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. And so here we are at Lilydale, the City of Light, and in the summertime, people can go sit in front of Tom and other healers. And it's what are the hours of the healing temple, Tom?
10:30 to 11:30 daily. 10:30 to noon on Saturdays, and Saturdays and Sundays are a little bit different. And Sundays from 12 to 1, and then 7 to 8 every evening. So there are 2 hours a day, every day in Lilydale during the summer.
Approximately how many people, on average, come for healing during the summertime?
Well, there are two services a day. We have anywhere in one from one service in anywhere from 50 to 70 people in a single service that come and get served. So it would be that times 60 or so.
Okay, beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
And how many healers on average do you have on duty?
It varies from service to service because it's a volunteer act. None of our healers are paid. They volunteer. And at some services you might have 3 or 4, others we might have 12. It just depends on who's available and when they're available.
Tom, we had an email and someone asked, what exactly did you study in Buffalo? You said you went to school in Buffalo.
I was a geography major.
Oh, my goodness. So did you have that passion for a very long time? Do you still have that passion?
No, I enjoyed the subject enormously. What I liked about geography was, in a sense, I guess it was, it fed the spiritual part of me as well, because when a geographer approaches a question or a problem, they do it from a number of disciplines. So it's a multiple disciplinary study to get at or to find answers to questions. For example, there's political geography, economic geography. We need to understand certainly the lay of the land, weather, all of these factors in coming up with plans and solutions to problems. And I find that with spiritual work, it's the same thing. The factors are very multidimensional, working with individuals. We're working with a human being, their physical nature, their emotional nature, their mental nature, their spiritual nature. All of that comes into play when examining or when working with a problem to be solved in healing.
Thank you. You're listening to Block Radio, Lilydale Radio. If you'd like to call in to ask Tom a question on the subject of healing or regression and how he works with regression for the purpose of healing, you can call at 818-739-8818. Again, 818-739-8818. Tom, I've taken your courses in regression. What do you call that course exactly? It's a whole weekend.
The weekend I call restructuring.
And explain that to us a little bit.
Well, I first want to talk a little bit about some of my background. I worked for a number of years. I worked my way through college in a mental hospital in Buffalo. And I worked my way up the ladder as a paraprofessional there. And I was always concerned about the lack of understanding around the need for at least some spiritual perspective in people's problems. I don't mean religion. I mean that it became clear to me that everyone has some kind of a spiritual orientation to the world. Even if they're atheists, they have some kind of ground of being, you know, through which they're, and a lens through which they're seeing their reality. And that rarely ever got addressed in any kind of psychological model. And I felt that it was very important. So I set out to find ways to engage, not only engage that part of an individual, but also I was aware that I became deeply aware that the methods that were being used weren't helping people get at the core of things. They were helping people to adapt to situations, but not clear them, not change fundamentally. And I knew that it was possible to do that, even though the main thinking at the time in psychiatry and psychology was that people really couldn't do that. They could develop coping strategies, but that's about as far as they would take things. But I felt that it was possible for people to have fundamental change.
Okay.
And I explored various avenues to doing that, and regression was part of it, but it wasn't the whole story. There was let me tell you about three influences on me. One was Roberto Assagioli, who was an Italian psychiatrist, who was around the same time as Carl Jung, and he proposed this model, and it was fairly similar to some other transpersonal models. And it suggested that the human mind had three parts: subconscious, self-conscious, and superconscious. But what particularly struck me about his teaching was one thing that he said, and that was that the way to the superconscious is through the subconscious, which basically says that you cannot go directly to spiritual realities without clearing the baggage underneath. And from my experience, I recognize that as a truth. So I knew that that was a direction I had to move in, but I didn't know exactly how to do it. He had some methods, and I practiced some of those methods. And his methods involved imagery, working with the imagery that the therapist would present to an individual. And through that imagery, they would negotiate some of their fears. But it was all through imagery and metaphor rather than a direct sort of connection to it. It was somewhat useful, and I did practice some of them for a while. But what really moved me to a deeper understanding was at the time I was involved with some metaphysical teachings in Boston, and Robert Fritz, the man who was behind those teachings, was a very creative individual. He played clarinet with the Dave Brubeck Quartet for a number of years. But his focus was on creativity and how we can be more effective as creators in our lives. And so because of that work, he had this kind of structural model how we create things. Because of that, I started playing with the notion if we could create even our misery, we ought to be able to uncreate it as long as we know how we created it. So with that as a backdrop, I set out to find some methods to deal with it. And I attended a workshop that was put on by a chiropractor and his wife. And they were very, very intuitive and psychic. And it was called a releasing workshop. So what happened was, I sitting in that workshop several times through the course of the weekend, I raised my hand. I said, "Well, I've got this discomfort in my left shoulder," and they were highly intuitive. And they'd look at me and say, "Release hate for your mother in ancient Afghanistan," and I would actually verbal. They would want attendees to verbalize these statements. So I verbalized the statement, and I felt a twinge of relief. However, I felt that later on it did come back, and I had no conscious understanding of what they were talking about, this mother in ancient Afghanistan. Then at another point during the course of the weekend, there was some other issue that I raised, and they looked at me and they said something relationship to my father in this life. And I was absolutely, totally aware of what they were talking about. And I made some choices that they suggested in relationship to what they suggested around my father. And when I did that, it stuck. I could feel that, oh, yeah, I understand exactly what they're talking about. And I changed my perspective and my relationship to what they were talking about and my own personal connection to that historical event. As soon as I did that, I could feel a realignment inside. So I knew I had pretty much the keys to how to proceed from there on. And I started a process which I call restructuring.
Say that again. What do you call it? Why did you come up with the name restructuring, Tom?
Well, it was kind of, part of it was honoring Robert Fritz's work, what you call structural thinking, struggle. And I knew that the structure of a person's thought processes had to be changed somewhat in order for them to be at peace with what was going on. And so that's why I called it restructuring. I have a clinical term for it, which is contextual pattern release. And that's because this process works because I guide people into the memory of where their issue began. So let's say somebody comes to me with an issue around relationship. And I'll talk to them. I spend time talking with them about how miserable this issue has made them. Because, you know, this may sound sadistic, but but it's very important for people to be fully present with something to let it go. And so I do my best to get them as present with their discomfort as possible in current reality. And then I use that as a platform for doing a regression back to its source. What I mean by the source is the first time they ever experienced that issue in their soul's history.
Regression, is that past life regression? Explain the word.
I think of it as, well, I actually even use another term, ingression. And was what I'm out for is for them to get to the source of the issue that they are currently struggling with. Now, that source can sometimes be a traumatic event in this life, but it's always a traumatic event. This life, sometimes in the womb, and frequently it is in a past life, that someone will go back to a past life where they're under extreme stress or torture, or they go through an experience of starvation or drowning. Usually it's something very, 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 very intense emotionally. And while they're present with that, I assist them in making a whole series of choices and decisions, most of which are releasing statements, like release my fear of, my anger at, all related to what's happening in that scene that they've gone back to, so that by the time they're finished, they feel totally peaceful, totally comfortable in the midst of the memory, with a sense they've taken back their power and have new sets of options around it. See, once that happens, a person is liberated from having to re-experience it over and over and over again on the unconscious, because they've actually re-educated their unconscious mind.
Okay. So, and that is obviously a form of healing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I've taken that course with you, Tom, actually, and I felt it very, 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 very powerful, in fact. Now, you're listening to Block Radio, and we're going to have our producer say a few words. Hello, Joyce. Are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Okay. Do you have any emails about that you'd like to ask Tom? Any questions about healing or restructuring?
Yes, we have an email from Mary in Boston, and she would like to know, can anyone be healed, and is there anything that you have ever seen that cannot be healed?
That's an excellent question, Mary. You know, there are many things that have come across my path that I have seen where it doesn't appear as though healing has happened from the healing, you know, that was presented. But one of the things that I've learned over time is there's always something positive that takes place when people sincerely engage in the healing process. Whether or not the healing is total and complete is another story. But I am convinced that there's always something positive that takes place.
Tom, can you tell us, you know, over the years of you doing healing and working on people, can you tell us of any, you know, what you would consider some amazing healings that you have witnessed, either through you or through some of the colleagues that you work with?
Yeah, I'll give an example of someone who, and this is what's wonderful about this, is I wasn't aware of it at the time it took place. I was working in the healing temple, and the story, I learned about it 2 years later. There was a woman who was a regular visitor to Lilydale. Her husband poo-pooed anything that was related to Lilydale, but he had been suffering from a back pain for almost a solid year. And he had gone to doctors and chiropractors and so on and gotten some minor relief. So on a particular summer day, he was complaining and she was tired of him complaining. So she said, all right, we're going to do something about this. And she didn't say where she was going to go. She just got him in the car and drove him to the gates of Lilydale. And she said, as soon as he got to the gate, he started to protest. She said, shut up. And so she drove him to the healing temple. And I guess my bench was empty when the service started. And so he went up to my bench. And the story goes, and I found this out 2 years later, that while he was up there, he had an epiphany. And he kind of began to open himself spiritually, and the back pain went away. And he was, after that, he was free of his back pain. So I found that was very, I like this story because I tell it to some of my students in healing, to let them know that you don't always know what's happening. If you're there sincerely doing your job, some amazing things can happen, and you might only find out a significant amount of time later. And that was the case with this with that particular person. Now, I've also had physical healings. People have experienced physical healings with the restructuring work. They talk about some physical pain associated with their emotional stresses. And when they've cleared the emotional issue, the pain went away. I had a woman with lifelong back pain. She was like 60 years old. Went to every other kind of therapist possible, again, with only minor relief. And after her session, she was completely clear. And she had gone back to a past life where she was mortally wounded in the same area where her back pain was. And when she addressed all the issues around it in that time frame and let it all go, there was no reason for the pain to exist anymore.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Block Radio, Lilydale Radio, here from the City of Light, Lilydale, New York. If you'd like to ask Tom a question about healing or restructuring, which is based on past life regressions and healing and restructuring the mind, give us a call at 818-739-8818. Again, 1-8-7-3-9-8-8-1-8. Tom, in a little while, I wonder if you would send out some apps in healing, if you do a little bit of process for us to send out, you know, visualization or healing.
Sure, I could probably do something like that.
Yeah, apps in healing. And while we're preparing for that, have you had any experiences of working on people from a distance through absent healing?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. My preference with absent healing is always to work with a group, because I find that group consciousness and group spirit is logarithmically more powerful than doing it as an individual, because there's a collective spirit produces enormous energies, and there have been many, many examples. I'll give one example. A number of years ago, I was invited to a healing group up in Fort Erie, Ontario. And one of the things that was happening that night is they were concerned about a woman who was a regular member of the meditation circle who was earlier that day in a serious car accident. And she was in the hospital and unable to attend. Apparently, numerous broken bones and some internal injuries. They expected her to be there for a couple of weeks. And they asked if we could focus on her at some point during the evening. And so we did. And as we did, and I found this out 2 months later when some of the members of that circle were visiting Lilydale. They told me that as we were sending out the healing energy, she experienced an intense green light coming into the hospital room that she was in. And the next day she was able to check herself out of the hospital. And all of her injuries weren't completely healed, but she was so improved and the pain was so so diminished that she was able to leave the next day. And not only that, there was a woman in the bed next to her in the same room who was expected, they were waiting for her to die, as a matter of fact, and she got up and left the next day and went to Florida. So there was...
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I'm going to say one of the healing prayers that we use in the temple here. I ask the great unseen healing force to remove all obstructions from my mind and body and to restore us to perfect health. I ask this all in sincerity and honesty, and I will do my part. Let's stop there for a moment. And I will do my part. Tom, do you think it's important for us also to do our part in healing?
Oh, absolutely. If we want to be healed, we need to be at least open to the possibility of healing, but also open to changing something. Because obviously something going on within us is out of balance, out of sorts in some way, and needs correction. And we need to be open to the possibility of corrections in our own behavior, in our own thinking. And that, you know, what's interesting about spiritual healing is that that kind of correction can happen spontaneously. The presence of spiritual energy somehow, in some way, I really believe, enlightens the consciousness of the person being healed. And if we are really open to that, we will come to an awareness of how to change.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. And the rest of that healing prayer that we say every day at Lilydale is, I ask this great unseen healing force to help both present and absent ones who are in need of help, and to restore them to perfect health. I put my trust in the love and the power of God. How does prayer enter into healing, Tom? Now, in some of the traditional churches, prayer is a very important part of the healing process. But do we also have that in spiritualism?
Maybe not in exactly the same way. Prayer is about, for me, is about setting intention. So many healers will have a very, very brief prayer that they say to themselves before they embark on any kind of a healing process. And that's pretty similar to how it works with me. When you've been working with the healing energy and what I would call a healing or spiritual state of consciousness for many years, so you know what state you need to be in to be open to the healing vibration, to be open to that sense of the infinite love and power of the divine, that's really the most important element in spiritual healing. It's a state of consciousness, and we talk about vibration all the time. And when you know it, it's one of those things. You feel a particular frequency. You know what it means and what it represents. You know, you can feel the light, if you will, internally. That's prayer. Yeah.
Okay. Now we have a call from California, and let's see if we can get her online. Hello. Hello.
Yes. Hello. Hello, John, and thank you for taking my call. And hello to your guest.
Thanks. Yes. It's Tom Crassley. You have a question for Tom Crassley on healing.
Yes, I do. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Hi.
Good. So my question is regarding hair loss. So I've been experiencing hair loss for many years, and it's, you know, obviously I'd like for it to heal and have a full head of hair. And I talk to my hair follicles, I pray, and I was just wondering if there's any healing you could do or what your comments or thoughts are on this.
Well, anyone, it does, you know, I don't focus on specific conditions when I do spiritual healing. What I would focus on is overall well-being. And always, it's always my intention. And sometimes I'm drawn to the specific condition in focusing on overall well-being. But do you have a meditation practice at all?
I do. Yes, I do.
And do you have a meditation that invites healing energy and allows you to kind of just sit in the power of the healing energy for, you know, 10, 15 minutes?
I think I need to do that more. My meditation is just overall relaxation and inviting my angels and guides to connect with me, and it also involves prayer. And I do ask upon Archangel Raphael to come and help and heal, you know, all my ailments. So that's what I do.
Okay, so it's valuable once you put out the request to kind of just sit and be open to the energy, and you may envision, you know, light all around your head, and feel and see that light. And by the way, you invite the colors that are most useful for your particular healing needs. So start out with the white light. And you may see spontaneously that the light will change in color to indicate the specific need that you might have for hair growth. But stay with it and stay present with the light and the energy for as long as it stays present with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Okay,
thanks, honey. Thank you. You're on Block Radio, Lilydale Radio, New York. If you'd like to ask Tom a question about healing, you could phone us here at Lilydale at 818-739-8818. That's 818-739-8818. Okay.
Hello? John and Tom, just while we're on the subject of spirituality and as it relates to, I guess, beauty, we had another person here in Boston. Her name is Elaine, and she wanted to know if there's any healing that can be done for basically losing weight.
Okay. Next question is addressed to Tom. Thank you, Tom.
You know, losing weight is about overall health and balance. And so basically the quest here is to just ask for whatever support is needed to bring balance and overall health and well-being to your body. And certainly weight is one of those things, particularly if the weight is in any way infringing upon what you're doing in life. It's like, does it take away from your ability to play or work or enjoy your family? So if it does that, then ask, basically we need to ask ourselves, what change do we need to make ourselves to create a difference with the weight? A lot of healing is not so much, you know, inviting and expecting something to happen to us. I ultimately believe that all healing is self-healing, and that we come to an awareness when we need to, and as soon as that happens, we go through the change called healing. And everyone, we're all constantly in the embrace, I believe, of divine love. And it's only a matter of us willing to be in the right place to accept it and to accept what we need to do to be more available to it.
Okay, thank you. Tom, Edgar Cayce was known as a medical intuitive. And he would, as you know, he would get somebody's name and he would go visit them through a remote viewing and do intuitive healing. How much is the psychic, and do you have such experiences very similar to Edgar Cayce about that subject of healing?
Well, typically my work is not so much about diagnostics. I don't consider myself a diagnostician, even a psychic diagnostician, although when it comes to me, it typically comes to me in absent healing.
Sometimes it comes spontaneously.
It'll come spontaneously when I'm working on somebody, and I might get a clear impression of something that needs to be done. But typically people come to me and they have their set of problems, whether it's physical pain or emotional. We work on things differently for different problems. But then I do what work I know how to do, and usually it's impactful. It makes some difference. Sometimes it completely alleviates the problem, and other times it's a partial relief. Or sometimes what happens, it's an ongoing. It begins a process that completes sometimes weeks later, sometimes even months later. And I never know the length of time that's going to take for the completion of the healing. It's certainly, because I see people typically once or twice, and then I don't see them for a while.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so with the restructuring, typically the once deals with the issue, and they don't have to come back for that issue again. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, most of our listeners know what Reiki healing is, and then there's Qigong, and there's other forms of therapeutic touch. So in a nutshell, how would you explain your process, and have you studied some of these other limbs of healing, Tom? Mm-hmm.
I have been exposed to a number of the different modalities, but mostly after I'd already gone through my own process of learning through doing at the Healing Temple. And what I've observed in seeing these other processes after I've gone through what I've gone through is I feel it's universal. I feel that there's a universal healing energy. Different cultures, different traditions tap into it in their own way. And they utilize what I call the infinite grace, the healing power of the universe, which I believe is part of the force of evolution. Now, we think that evolution has something to do with, you know, just moving species forward. But whenever we're faced with a healing issue or a healing crisis and we overcome it, something is profoundly improved within us. And I believe that's part of the process of evolution. Don't not always necessarily have to be sick for evolution to take place, but that's one of the ways it does take place. So it is a universal phenomena and there are many ways in which it can be accessed.
Okay, beautiful. So if you'd like to call in to Lilydale Block Radio, 818-739-8818. There are, for instance, when people come for healing, sometimes it's genetic, you know, the family tree.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's emotional.
Right.
Sometimes it's environmental, which means the environment they live in and their diet and also past lives.
Right.
Are you able sometimes to denote basically the cause of the healing?
Well, I'm glad you use the word sometimes. Yes, sometimes, but definitely not all the time. And I've come to accept that it's not mine to know all the time.
Okay.
Even as it's sometimes not the person who's being healed to know at that time. There does appear to be, at least in karmic circumstances, sets of experiences that people are meant to go through in order to come to a full healing. And so for me to interrupt that would not be fair to the person, because there are other experiences that need to happen before the healing takes place for an integrated growth experience.
Okay, beautiful. So in a little while, Tom is going to give an Aspen healing. But before we do that, do you believe that there are other also, like Brian Weiss and other people are doing psychology through to past lives? Is that becoming more accepted in the psychological world?
In general, it is. And I know that I don't know about. You know, there's still a lot of work in the clinical in the field of clinical psychology that is brain based. Let me put it that way. So they really are not acknowledging the spirit. They're not acknowledging the possibility of a history beyond the body, and that to me is sad, because it's missing another opportunity for healing. Now, that also doesn't mean to say that because a person doesn't discover a past life or doesn't know that that they can't be healed anyway. I believe there are many avenues to healing. This is only one of them, and that there are many ways in which people can access healing with or without knowing a past life origin. I do want to say a little bit more about absent healing and the power of it, what I've experienced over time. And how important the influence sometimes is from family members who have passed on into the spirit world.
Yes, yeah.
And they often show up whenever absent healing is taking place, because they want to support the spiritual energy that's being directed toward their loved one on the earth plane.
Now, are you aware of the presence of?
Oh, absolutely. Especially when doing absent healing, I can feel the loved one come in. And to specifically, let me give you an example, and this is a very powerful example. I was directing a group that was sending out healing energy for one of the members' sons. Now, his son was a drug addict who was in a very bad state. He had exhausted all of his resources and was extremely depressed, even suicidal. When we as a group attempted to connect with him to send him spiritual energy, I could feel that he was so distant. He was so difficult to reach. It was as if we were reaching across the galaxy to try to connect with this young man. And that's how depressed he was spiritually. But nonetheless, we sent him love, and we were holding him in an energy of love as much as we could, even though he felt so distant from our circle. And as we did that, we felt his mother come into the circle from spirit. And the thought occurred to us to amplify his mother's love for him. And as we did that, he was able to come into the circle to accept the healing that was being offered to him. And a week later, he checked himself into long-term rehab.
That's beautiful. Now, that's the difference of spiritualism.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Joyce, I believe you have some announcements, and then we're going to come back, and Tom is going to do an absent healing. Hello, Joyce.
Okay. Hi. Yes, for our listeners just tuning in, you're listening to Journeys of the Light with John White and special guest Tom Crassley. If you'd like to call in, the number is 818-739-8818. Again, that number is 818-739-8818. This radio show is one of four at Lilydale. On Fridays at 10 a.m., we have Celestial Fridays with Celeste Elliott. Tuesdays at 8 p.m., Embracing Your Essence with Colleen Vander Zijden. And, of course, Wednesdays at 10 a.m., Wednesdays with Willa. Journeys of the Light is on every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. And all of these radio hosts are registered mediums here at Lilydale. Tom Crassley is one of the longtime healers at Lilydale, and he teaches workshops over the summertime. And on Wednesdays from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m., there are free healing services at the Healing Temple here in Lilydale, and that is all year long, except for the summer when there are multiple healings every day. Thanks, John.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Joyce. Okay. Joyce is in beautiful downtown Boston. Here we are in Lilydale, New York. Okay. Tom, would you like to lead us in a healing process?
Yes. This is going to be a very, very simple meditative process. But what I would invite you to do is to make sure you're seated in a comfortable position if you want to participate with us. To seat it with your back straight and either in a lotus position or your feet flat on the floor so that your body is mechanically aligned, so you're open to energy, and to just allow yourself to go into a relaxed state with your eyes closed and feeling your energy more present in your body. But I'd also like to welcome you to hold your hands such that you can feel that they're sort of facing each other, and you can feel an energy presence between your hands. Because it's as this energy builds, you're going to be much more available to the awareness that there is real energy here that's being offered to whoever it is that comes to your awareness that you want to send energy to and want to make the healing available to. So as you sit there in that relaxed state, I want you to just become aware of your physical body more and become aware of energy settling into your body, and in particular into your heart. You might imagine in your heart a flower of the purest light and love with ever unfolding petals that massage your chest from the inside. So you're opening to that love vibration, letting that relaxation and that love fill your heart, fill your body. And it becomes so brilliant that the light of the petals can no longer be distinguished from one from another. And it creates a great warm, soft glow of love and light in your heart, in your chest. And as you settle into that, become aware that this is a source of healing. This is the part of you that knows how to connect to the infinite source of love and light in the heart of God. And as you open yourself to make that connection, feel the fullness of that peace and that love expanding and growing throughout your own body, throughout your own awareness. And as you allow yourself to become more aware of that, feeling the peace that it brings, you can also become aware of the fact that you have, with this healing intention that anyone who's listening to this has, that it is lifting the energy around you
And it's lifting the energy around all of us who are currently engaged in this process. And it's also making us more available to the support of loved ones from the spirit side of life, the support of angels and teachers, that they're also there to support this healing intention that we all have. And for those who were with us earlier, you can be aware that this healing intention can serve you as well, can serve us individually, even as we're aware of wanting it for some loved one or those that we're aware of that are in need of healing. So as you feel the continued growth and building of this warmth and this love and this light, start to think and become aware of someone that you know who is in need of healing and support. And as you become aware of this individual, know that their healing energy is being made available to them. And you might ask yourself a simple question. You ask to be linked to their higher self and the blueprint for their well-being, so that all that is offered them in this healing is for their highest and best. And with your hands opposite each other, you can feel the building of the healing energy, knowing that it's going directly to them and it's serving to bring about balance, well-being, perhaps another level of understanding for their overall health and well-being. You can even kind of see a miniature of them between your hands, accepting the richness of the love and the healing energy, accepting the support of it. And you have a sense that what can be sent has been sent, can be offered. You can switch targets and think of someone else that you know of that's in need of healing, and hold them in your awareness and know that the presence of the angels and the teachers and their loved ones are also engaged in sending forth that healing energy for them as well. And so the other thing, as we continue to allow ourselves to feel the richness and the fullness of the healing energy, is let yourself take in and utilize the beauty and the benefit of that, being in the presence of that healing energy. Let it uplift you in whatever way is most useful and helpful to you at this time. Even allow yourself to feel it running through your body, up from Mother Earth, up through your feet, through your entire body, to the top of your head. And know that there's a constant, continuous flow of this healing energy from Mother Earth that's nurturing you. And similarly, there's a constant, continuous flow from the heavens above, also nurturing and uplifting you. And to close out this experience, always be aware of the gratitude that you experience, the sense of blessing of having been present with the spiritual energy. And we do say thank you to Great Spirit and thank you to those from the spirit realms who have been with us in support of our healing endeavors. For all of this, we are grateful. Amen.
Thanks, Tom, for that beautiful healing. With a few more minutes that we have, Tom, is there any workshops or any activities that are coming up that you would like to share with us here happening at Lily Dell?
Well, I always like to talk about the one I teach in the summertime here at the Healing Temple. It's called Healing Mastery. It's a week long, and it's a survey of a lot of different healing techniques. But it's also an opportunity to kind of be an apprentice at the Healing Temple. So within a few days of the class and instruction, you have the opportunity, when you feel it, to serve in the temple and serve the public. And there's something very special about being able to serve in a sacred place like our Healing Temple. It is one of the great spiritual healing venues, I believe, in North America. One of the few places that's like solely devoted to spiritual healing. And so it's a wonderful opportunity. I love teaching it every year. There's a sense that every year that when I do it, I'm also, you know, lifted to some new place. So the opportunity to work with a group of people who come with the sincere desire only to be of service and to improve their capacity to be of service through spiritual healing. So that one, I certainly recommend that others come and do that, that people come and do that. There's a couple of others I'm going to be doing over the summer, shorter ones. There's a one day I'm doing on elemental healing. And that one involves processes that help to detoxify the body from things like problems, toxicity from, let's say, drugs, even medicinal drugs that have a toxic effect on the body. Also the detoxification from recreational drugs, from alcohol and from tobacco, et cetera. And one of the biggest problems that I've seen over the years is from anesthetics and surgery. That anesthetics can stay in a person's aura 40, 50 years, and that can and the that stuff can be removed spiritually. And I was given a process many years ago from my spirit teachers on how to do that, and it's been very successful. I've helped a lot of people, for instance, stop smoking. I've helped people after chemo treatments. 20 minutes after doing the process, they feel completely liberated from the side effects. So that's another one I'll be doing next summer.
And you also teach at the fellowship. Were you doing a course recently at the fellowship?
Yes, I did. I do the restructuring training. Typically once a year, I might be doing another one. I don't know, possibly in spring, but I definitely do it every autumn, Columbus weekend. Every year I do a training of the restructuring process.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. And on behalf of Block Radio, Lily Dale Radio, thanks Tom for being, here with us. So we're here at Block Radio, Lily Dale Radio, every Wednesday from eight to nine, and you can also send us emails. And the Lily Dale brochure will be coming out soon, and you can find that online. And another event going on at Lily Dale at LilydaleAssembly.com, LilydaleAssembly.com. Okay, everybody out there, so we've sent you healing, we sent you love, and know that it's possible sometimes for you to be lonely, but it's impossible for you to be alone. If you knew who walked beside you at all times, you would literally blow your mind, because the angels and the guides and our ancestors come around us to help us and inspire us and to share their love with us. God bless and good night.
Yeah, that's a nice closing.
It's all
right on time.
Hey, Tommy. Thank you, buddy.